It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the rest of the program today, we're going to be talking about basketball superstar Candace Parker. She was raised in Naperville, Illinois, won two high school championships there, and was the Gatorade Player of the Year twice, went on to a pair of national championships in college at Tennessee, and has now won three WNBA championships with the LA Sparks, the Chicago Sky, and just a few weeks ago with the Las Vegas Aces, though Parker's been out with an injury since July, which is also a significant part of her story. Now she's getting ESPN's 30 for 30 treatment. Candace Parker, Unapologetic, premieres at 8 p.m. Central Time this Sunday on ESPN. Let's listen to the introduction from the film.
People don't know your full story when you step on the court. So for me personally, if I step on the court, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be ready.
I have far more basketball behind me than in front of me. And so I know that, like, these days are numbered. But when it's all said and done, I feel like I'm so much more than this game and what people have wanted me to be. And I'm finally in a place where I can just be me. I can just be myself.
The attention that she was already garnering at a very young age. I don't think we've ever had a more hyped women's college basketball player.
Expectations at Tennessee are so high.
There is no one like her. She's a champ, she's a vet, she's an Olympian.
She lives up to all the hype.
She's one of the best basketball players of my lifetime.
Candace Parker.
The documentary is directed by the award-winning Joey Jacoby, who joins us now. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
I want to start our conversation where you begin the film, and that's in Parker's childhood home. You have this great use of archival footage cutting between her visiting the house today with camcorder footage her family took when she was a kid. It's especially great on that basketball court in a park where she played with her brothers. Did you know what you would have going into this project?
In terms of the archival specifically? Yeah, I mean, we did it in a sense, but we didn't. Like, we hadn't seen it. We had heard from Candace that, first off, she was like, I record a lot of stuff. You know, she had tons of footage of her child Layla's life, you know, and all of their travels over the years. But then she was like, my mom was the same about me and has a ton of footage. And so her mother, Sarah Parker, you know, was really the keeper of all this footage, but it was a real adventure to actually find out what it was. She, you know, I called her and I was like, Sarah, you know, Candace says you have all this footage. Can I, you know, come and see it? She's like, or can you send me? And she's like, I'm not sending you anything. You have to come to my house and you have to look at it here. And I don't even really want you to take it out of my house. So I was like, all right, Miss Parker, absolutely. So we actually, she was like, and some of this stuff is on VHS tape. And I don't have a VHS player anymore. I don't know how you're going to watch it. So anyhow, like, she was kind of,
yeah.
So what we did was we actually went on eBay and we bought a television with the VHS.
Like, oh yeah. I had one of those. Yes.
Yeah. We brought it over. I flew into Chicago. I brought the thing over to Sarah's house, to Miss Parker's house, and set it up. She was actually thrilled. She was like, oh, wow, I haven't seen one of these. I need this. Like, so then we really spent, you know, 2 days of just like going through her tapes, watching them with her in her living room, going through all her photos. I mean, she had a whole room of photos and keeping all of this stuff from her sons and Candace and going to games and recording trips, you know, to colleges, college tours, just all of this stuff. So we had like the first time that like she was signing with Pat Summitt at Tennessee and going to other schools and visiting and you know, her rehabbing in high school, just this treasure trove of stuff that Sarah had. And so she very, you know, I gained her trust. And I was like, I promise you, I will keep these, will be with me when I make these, you know, when I digitize them, and I had to convert them to DVD so that we could start, in, you know, getting them into the edit. I did it all in one day. I brought it back to her and I left her with the VHS TV so she could keep it. And she loves it. She has it set up on the side. So whenever she does want to go and look, you know, go down memory lane on her videotapes, she can go back into them. But she was like, she held on to those and she was not, she was very, very precious about it. I had to respect that.
A lot of Illinois history in her media cabinet, which is not a thing most people probably even have anymore, but let's
you can't get her, you can't get Candace like, from the radio stations and from all the TV stations, the local Illinois stations that she appeared on in high school and throughout the years when she, before college, you know. She had a lot of accomplishments even then, but you wouldn't be able to find those if you called the stations. They don't keep those anymore. They don't have those archived.
Yeah.
Sarah does.
Amazing. Well, and her parents captured a lot of these important milestones. You mentioned some of them. One is her first dunk, and you have that in the film. Let's listen to just a little bit of that moment.
There was a Christmas tournament. I actually was sick and thought about not going, and I did, and I recorded it, thank goodness.
You know, there was a steal, and she got ahead of the group. We both stood up because we knew what she was gonna try. The whole gym erupted. First time that I'm sure everybody had ever seen a woman dunk, especially a high school girl.
Talk about what a big deal this was.
I think it was really exciting for anyone who was in that room. You know, it was so unheard of to see any high school kid dunking, really. And, you know, not to mention a teenage woman. And, you know, it was a big moment for Candace. She had been practicing with her dad. He was her coach and mentor in many ways. And her brothers were also her mentors and watching them do it. And she wanted to do it. Like, that's it. Like, she just wanted to. And, you know, after that moment, she got a lot of attention, media attention. And that was surprising for her. There were people, you know, news cameras or something showed up at the house. And her dad was like, oh, you know, this is not important stuff. This is not serious. Like, this is not, you know, you don't get caught up in this, because what does this really mean? You know, you need to work on your game. Dunking is not it. Like, that's not going to, you know, get you to the WNBA or get you to the college that you want to get to. So don't lose focus from this moment. So I think in some ways it was sort of an awakening for her to not get caught up in the glam and all the lights and the glamorous stuff that can come with being an elite athlete, and to get back into doing the work. But she got a lot of attention. She was on like Fox, the local Fox channel, and at 6 a.m. with some guy who was trying to challenge her to a dunk. so cringe, but yeah.
I recognize that guy from watching local news. I recognized.
Oh, you did. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. And so she realized that it also was a moment where people were making such a big deal of a woman doing something, when to her, the way that she grew up in her family, it's not a big deal for a woman to do something like that. And so it was an awakening of the way the world perceives a woman.
So you document her time at Tennessee, her time in the WNBA. She's married. She has a kid. She's remarried, has another kid. We don't have time to get into all of that. One of the things you do explore, though, is this question that people raise about Parker sometimes, which is, and Jemele Hill, who is in your documentary, sort of raises this point.
It's this weird kind of dichotomy, because at one end of it, we've seen Candace Parker celebrated and lauded as one of the greatest players in the world, but then she's also had these moments where people are like, eh, she aight. You know?
I wonder where you come down on that.
You know, I really just wanted to present the evidence, present the data, and let it speak for itself, you know? There's so many historical things that she's done over her career. You know, she, and even now we're in her broadcast career, we're seeing some of those historic firsts for her, as a woman covering the NBA. But she She is the only woman, only WNBA player to win a championship with three different franchises, which is really saying something, because that shows you that she's the special sauce. It's not always the team. And yeah, she was injured, you know, towards the end of the season. But when she wasn't injured earlier in the season, she was playing phenomenally and really leading that team. So, you know, that I think that's just the things speak for themselves. You know, I think that what I wanted to do was show all of the work, all of the things that she's done, and also to show you some of the things that she's been dealing with behind the scenes while all of that work was being done. Not, you know, not everyone who is on those GOAT lists had a child their rookie season and then continued to dominate. So there's a lot of things that, and not everyone on there, you know, dealt with the injuries that she did. Not everyone on there played probably year round, almost 350 days a year for 10 years of their career. So these are all things that I just present in the film, and I want the audience to just come away with, you know, however they feel about that. But I do think she's been underrated.
Yeah, and that's also interesting, the idea, and again, we don't have time to get into it, but, you know, how women players, to make a living, a lot of them do have to go play in Russia or elsewhere overseas, and that's where they make their real money, so to speak. Last thing I want to ask you, you've done other big projects before. One of your previous films, Return to Mexico City, reunited Tommy Smith and John Carlos at Olympic Stadium there. I wonder how this project compares, doing a 30 for 30. I don't know if that, I think that film predated the whole 30 for 30 project.
Did, yeah.
What is, you know, what is different about doing something with ESPN, this huge platform?
Yeah, I think it's, I think we're coming up on the 15th anniversary next year for 30 for 30, which is really, you know, amazing. And it's just wonderful to be part of a canon of work that is really filmmaker centric. I really appreciate that ESPN has continuously supported independent filmmakers in making documentaries. They're one of the few places that have been doing it for as long as they have been in terms of greenlighting these, you know, films for that in the documentary space. Regardless of, you know, what's happening in the market, you'll see, you know, ebbs and swings where Netflix is only doing it for certain numbers. ESPN is consistently looking for great stories that talk, you know, that have sport at some part of it. It doesn't have to be at the center of it. And I think, you know, we definitely, you know, I wanted to make this a sports doc. I wanted to show her game. And like, I think she's a transformative figure in the sport. And, you know, we see so many athletes today that are encompassing parts of their game that I think came from Candace. But I think that it's also a really, it's a family, it's a film about family. It's a film, it's a love story in many ways. So I'm just really grateful to ESPN for allowing me to go down this road and, you know, tell a story about a really amazing woman.
Well, I enjoyed watching it, and I appreciate you being with us to tell the story of this great Illinois athlete here on the 21st Show.
I appreciate it. I am a huge NPR fan. I am a subscriber, you know, I am a supporter, and just really just made my day. Thrilled to be here.
Thank you so much. Joey Jacoby is the director of Candace Parker Unapologetic. It debuts this Sunday, November 12th at 8 p.m. Illinois time on ESPN. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
And that's all the time we have for our show today and for this week. On Monday, we'll be talking with an Illinois chef and the author of a new book looking at the history and culture behind Midwestern food. Do you have a favorite recipe? And what questions do you have about the history of our Midwestern cuisine? You can leave a voicemail anytime this weekend at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121, or send us an email. You can find all the ways to contact us at our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. One final note today, I want to thank all of the soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, and Guardians, that's the name for people in the Space Force, as well as Coast Guardsmen. It's Veterans Day this weekend. Take a moment, 11 o'clock this Saturday. Think about the sacrifices these men and women have made to keep all of us safe. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again on Monday.